Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of The Crew Car with myself, James Batty, and Gemma Cunningham from the Yacht Interior Academy. How are we?
We are very well. Yes, I'm here and I'm with Pippa.
Very nice.
Thought I'd give her a little show up.
Yeah. Tell you what, I don't think I can get my dogs involved. They're, morons at the best of time. I was going to say, you look like you've got some Christmas decorations going on. What's happened there, Dem? You're still celebrating Christmas a bit in the background. Very nice, your festive lights.
Yeah, I just couldn't be able to take them down.
Wise.
Actually, I did have them up during Christmas, but it just lights the room. I'm in a cottage, so lights the room up a little bit.
It's stunning. Yeah, it looks really nice. Whereabouts in the world are you, anyway?
I'm in Plymouth. Where are you going? The airport, was it?
Yeah, I'm driving to Gatwick. So, yeah. I've got one of those fun days. Actually, do you know what? It's my beautiful day. And I quite enjoy the car because I get a few conversations done, some work done, everything else. It's quite a good place to catch up with everything. So, yeah, it works. Weirdly, in Plymouth, I had my best ever soft-shell crab burger just before I had my master's oral back in 2014 down there in Plymouth, down where the MCA building used to be at the end of the fish market.
Yeah. Nice. Oh, I love it.
So, yeah, it's good. Anyway, so how did you get into your thing? How do you find yourself where you are now? What's the inspiration? How did you get there? Tell us all.
Tell us all. So I suppose when I was 16, I left school because you're allowed to leave school back then at that age. So I left school at 16 and I was literally like, I don't have a clue. I haven't got the foggiest of what I want to do.
I don't think anyone does at that age.
No, exactly. But yeah, I got an apprenticeship as a hairdresser. And that was how I started out, really. When I was 18, I actually joined the cruise ship world.
Which one were you on?
I was on Britannia, so P&O, Britannia. Joined when it was completely brand new. Had an incredible experience on there. And we got to sail for a week with no guests on. We got to use everything on board to test it out. It was fantastic. Absolutely amazing. They just said to us, go out, use every restaurant, go and use the bars, go and use the spa. So we were absolutely loving it.
To say, drunk all day, but very relaxed.
Yes. So yeah, that was me when I was 18 into turning 19. And I got to the end of that. I thought that was hard graft. And I loved it. I really loved it. And I knew that I wanted to stay in a similar, the travel and the life experience and that jazz. I knew that I wasn't ready to step away from that. So... yeah. Obviously, as we were going around, I think we came across a couple of yachts on the way. And I thought, that's interesting. Seemed quite a luxurious industry, something really different. And that was when I started looking into it. And for me, when I started looking into it, there wasn't really much out there. ChatGPT was not thing. So I couldn't type into ChatGPT. How do I work on a super yacht? So it's a lot easier nowadays. But I think we'll go back to that. But yeah, basically ended up going onto my first yacht in 2015. And that's been my life for the last 10 years.
Did you start small boat? What was it here?
So I started on a 60 metre, and that was my first introduction to the yachting industry. It was an interesting one.
There's definitely a story.
There is a bit of a story. So do you want me to go into the story?
Yeah, hell yeah. We love a story.
I suppose the story was I stepped into the industry with I have absolutely no idea what this is going to entail. I don't even know how to get onto a yacht. Do I crawl up the passerelle? Do I? I don't know. I didn't even know what a passerelle was. So I went in really blind. I got my contract whilst I was on the plane flying over. So for me, if I'd known that kind of then, I would have been a little bit like, this is a bit, something's not right. And yeah, I got on board and it just unraveled from there. It was an amazing experience. I made such amazing memories. But there was a really strange dynamic on board that I wasn't sure whether it was healthy or not because I was so new. The captains used to were a couple, which absolutely fine. Incredible couples in the industry. But I suppose it was just a bit of a different kind of vibe. Yeah, not to get too into it, but yeah, it was, as a young stewardess, it was quite intimidating to have stewardess in that position. Yeah, it just created a different vibe, I think, within. And I didn't realise that at first. I had no idea. I thought maybe this is normal. Being taught to fold a towel for the first time, it's a reasonable thing to ask a crew member, but it was the way in which it was done.
But everyone has their different ways of folding towels as well. I often get stuck on the wrist from my wife at home when I put the towels back in a certain way, and it's like, give it here, take it off. I'm like, what? Yeah. I done it the same way I do it on board, but it's not the way I do it. And it's like,
okay, yeah.
But you do that, but you have to have a format. Everyone has their own way of doing things. There's a sort of standard baseline, but everyone has their tweaks and their particular way of particularly rolling towels on deck and all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose that is part of the job. And I knew that going into it, I had a rough idea of what I was going to be doing, but it was just being taught in a certain way, and there was being taught in a way that was like, you've done this wrong. And it was scary.
Yeah, and it is intimidating for new crew. And it is, unfortunately, it's not an isolated incident that happens in this industry. There are people who are in positions of leadership who really aren't leaders. They don't know how to talk to people. So that also comes from the way that maybe they also were educated. You tend to preach and practice what has been preached to you.
Yeah.
What is the learned behavior. And unfortunately, if people have the wrong heads of the department or wrong people running their area, you can pick up on those bad habits and think that's the way to do it. And it's really not. So, yeah, I can understand that. But this is the thing, like you're saying, okay, if you have that experience and maybe you weren't the character that you are, you could have quite happily had your confidence knocked and gone, you know what, I'm done. This isn't right for me.
Absolutely.
This tends to, unfortunately, we do lose quite a lot of good crew, maybe through toxic work environments on certain vessels within the industry. It's a real shame, which is why we need to create this baseline where we have sites to work from and we know who people are, where they've been, what certification they've got, how long they've been in the industry, and it's all transparent. There's lots of people like, I've been in yachting for 20 years and you've actually not really been in yachting.
Exactly. The thing I'm trying to go for with the Yacht Interior Academy and the way I'm trying to shape it is, I'm trying to go in with a real humble approach. I'm here to obviously guide crew. I'm trying to create a bridge for people that are interested about the industry, but also being really real about the expectations of what's involved. It's not just, oh, you need to do this and this to get into the industry. It's like, this is what you're actually walking into. These are the scenarios that you need to prepare yourself for. And I guess, we're just trying to educate really more than anything.
So what is the Yacht Interior? Is it a physical course that people attend? Is it online? Is it mentoring? What exactly is it? How does the service work?
It's an online platform. I've created a course, basically, and other things that come off of that, where it's an opportunity for completely new, fresh eyes to come in and be like, oh, I want to know about that. And it's to basically educate the people about the ins and outs of what you need to get into the industry, how to do it, where to go. It's reaching out to certain contacts. It's just getting them involved in that world that they're curious about. And as well as that, it is, as I said earlier, educating these people on what to expect when you're actually in that environment. Because when you walk onto a yacht, you're walking into an ecosystem of crew. You're walking into 10 different personalities.
In their house as well. You're walking into their home, their workspace, their social space. It's all merged into one. Basically, you've just been dropped in it. And as you say, if you're not familiar, it's a very strange scenario to be put in because some are welcoming, some are like, hey, nice to see you, how you doing? And make you feel part of it. Other people's a bit more standoffish, like, I'll see how you get on. And then I'll invest some time in you because I don't want to be too chummy with you in case you don't go the distance and you back out. And then I've invested time and I've made a friend that, do you know what I mean? It's like all these various things that you have to think about.
Yeah.
That's without even doing your job.
Yeah.
So the course itself is online. What does it involve? What is it? Modules? Is it just self-taught? Yes.
It's a self-taught, it's modules. It's kind of, you know, you can come back to it, you can go to it, you can start and stop whenever you please. But there's also like a one-to-one kind of conversation with me included in this. So we can have like a really open, honest chat, and they can actually see that I'm like a real human being that has lived and experienced this life. And it's an opportunity for them to just ask someone that's done it anything they want. The course is a basic kind of guideline. It's got so much crammed in there. But having the kind of facilities to be able to have a chat with me afterwards as well is obviously, it's great to know someone in the industry and go about it that way. So, there are loads of companies out there that kind of do a similar, I suppose, similar thing. And in a way, it's just getting the name out there, it's getting myself out there, which is something that it's new to me. But it's also just giving like a really like genuine, real, like humble aspect to the life that somebody's just about to embark on.
You say you draw from your own personal experience in documenting all of that and putting it into testing environment and education. That's a huge commitment in itself. How long did that take to put all that together?
Days, weeks, months, it could be ages, because it's not just, you need your FDCW, you need your NG. Yes, you need those things, but it is actually, this might be expected of you. This is where certain boats might go. These are the different types of yacht you can get. And it's a whole range of personal experiences, market research that I've done myself, other crew, like stories and information that I've had from friends and people that I've met throughout the years. And it's also combining questions that I've been asked by so many people since I've left the industry. The biggest one is, how do you do it? Is it like below deck? And it's trying to, the big one.
There is nothing below deck.
Yeah. And I said, okay, you get the kind of idea from it, but there's just so much more in that crazy world that's to be explored and to be educated to people.
You say this course is easy for people. How long does it take in terms of hours? Is there a dedicated amount of time you need to put in order to complete this course? Do you get a certificate? How does it work?
So you could sit and go through the course over a day. It's not like something that you have to answer questions. It's purely just like a Bible. It's just an informative kind of pack to be like, here you go. This is what you're walking into. I'm here to help you and guide you the entire way from the minute you leave your house to the minute you step on the boat.
We all need someone to hold our hand at some stage in our lives.
Yeah, and not everyone will want that, but it's something that I know that I probably would have loved. Is this a normal thing? Is this right? Does this contract look okay? And it's just like breaking down like all the tiny little bits that, people are so...
And how much does it cost to do this?
So my course, the kind of the big one, is it's £80. And I've priced it at £80 because obviously it took me a long time to create. I've put a lot of knowledge and time into it. But also, I don't think it's a kind of crazy cost personally to you for the information that's inside. I know there's so many kind of people and companies out there that charge thousands and thousands for similar things. And you get it. It's a competitive kind of industry out there with this kind of thing. But I personally don't believe in people going out and wasting thousands and thousands on stuff that they don't really need. Ultimately, when I was hiring throughout my time in the industry, one of the biggest things I would look for was obviously experience is a huge one, but it was also personality. And it was trying to get a person that would be like super valuable and just a really lovely asset to the team.
This is the thing though, particularly in yachting, I would say more than most industries, any industry really, is that the fit of the crew member is possibly the most important. You can have all the qualifications in the world, but if your personality isn't right for that environment, it's just not going to work. So I always put the environment first. I can generally normally tell within 2 minutes of speaking with someone whether they're going to work with all the other personalities. I often describe to my crew, it's like dealing with that lot. It's like spinning plates. There's a lot of personalities on board, yeah. Great personality, but you need to keep them all spinning, yeah. Because if one goes out of control, it could take out the whole lot. And that's, it really is a balancing act. And whereas some people just look at qualifications and go, I want him, I want her, not really taking into account what their personalities are like. And then you tend to get an unpleasant environment on board rather than thinking, yeah, person has not necessarily got the same qualification, but they've got enough qualifications to do the job, but their personality is infinitely better,
yeah,
than another person who's got all the qualifications under the sun. And I think that's the balance you're trying to create there.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Cool. So from here, what's the next step? Is it midway creating more courses? Is there support structure, or is it a one-time thing that they do?
So at the moment, the course is obviously the core of what I've got going as it stands, but yeah. I am working with a few different platforms at the moment to kind of, I suppose, educate in a better, more human way.
Okay.
I had a conversation the other day with an amazing platform, and she's more of kind of the counselling side of the industry. She's a counsellor for yacht crew. Wow. And I was like, really, like, absolutely love what you do. Like, there wasn't really anything like that when I was in, years and years ago. I don't remember there really being anything. Oh, you can go to a counsellor and be like, these are my problems on board. Like, how do I deal with it? And I've reached out to this amazing girl. And, oh, it's massive. I just think...
The ability to talk to people and share and offload. I've used counselling over my adult life, dealing with various bits and problems and trauma and whatnot. And it is freeing to have someone sit there who listens and doesn't necessarily try and fix it.
Exactly.
Because sometimes you just need to offload and have someone listen and be like, yeah, that does, that sucks. And they're like, oh, you know what you do about this? And this is the problem. Everyone likes to try and be the one to fix a problem rather than just be the one that listens to a problem.
Listens? Yeah, exactly.
We're very good. I always tell people we have two of these, one of these, use them in that proportion. But it is. It's the idea that people want to talk, let them talk. And if they ask you, what do you think about it, then tell them and be truthful. But don't try and fix them whilst they're still trying to tell you a problem. Because inherently humans, we try and say, oh, you know what you should do? You should do this and you should do that. It's like, I wasn't actually asking you. I just wanted to offload it. I'm carrying this burden and I just want to get rid of it. And I'm a great believer. I've got a conversation coming up with a counsellor, or a psychotherapist, who says, I love what he does. I unfortunately lost voice. We were supposed to have it last week. Well, I think there's such value that comes from speaking to someone and talking through what might be going on in your own head or some issues that you're facing. Just have someone there that can pick it up. And,
absolutely.
You know, whilst it's lovely to have AI bots and all this kind of technology, there's nothing quite like sitting opposite a human being.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And I think that was my biggest thing throughout my kind of career. One of the biggest things I learned was how absolutely incredible communication is, and that's one thing that I will always like express to the people that I'm training up and stuff, is communication is your biggest kind of magic spell. If you've got something wrong or something's not sitting right, or just speak up, say it, speak to someone. Communication is like the biggest thing I think that you can have in the industry.
The ability to be able to, because you're in close quarters, so I always come back to it, all issues that have gone unmentioned suddenly become one big issue. And then you, the person, may lose their temper or whatever in public over something that appears very small to everyone else, but has actually been a combination of many small things. And then unfortunately, they look like the lunatic. And it's like, which is why I always tell my group, it's so important that when you have an issue, that you raise it and address it there and then.
Yeah.
And then we can either deal with it and we move on, or if it's such an issue that you can't, then we have some choices to make. But I feel so bad for people when they're being constantly dealing with something that maybe they haven't raised, and then it comes to the head, they're tired, they've been working crazy hours, it's midway to coming to the end of the season, and they lose their mind as like, it was psycho. And it's like, you have no idea what's in. But also, they have to take some responsibility. Is it that they haven't raised it? So unfortunately, there's a balance.
It's a very fine kind of balance with it. And yeah, it is a really hard one to navigate. But yeah, going back to what I was saying, that was something that I'm trying to link in with my company, really, is the kind of mental and emotional side of the industry and what it brings, and actually having the resources to be able to reach out to people and say, like, I need help, or even if it's something really stupid, I think it's just invaluable to have a resource like that attached to you, something else.
Yeah, but this is it. And this is what I've been doing as well, is creating an infrastructure where crew have access to, you know, information that you're providing, counsellors, investment, so that people are actually, whether they use it, it's completely a choice. It's voluntary.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, but the fact is, you have it there for you to use. We all have various bits of information, which back in my day used to be in an encyclopedias, but now it's the touch of your fingertips.
That is
huge. But also, it's about making sure that it's trusted information, because unfortunately, in this industry, there is also quite a lot of exploitation of people where they're like, you must do this or you should do that, and it's like, no, I really shouldn't.
Completely agree. So I guess it's just like realigning the future crew really that are going into the industry, and by doing that, eventually, once you've trained up this amazing crew member that's gone in with all this knowledge, they could be a captain one day. And like you said in the start of the conversation, it kind of filters down, doesn't it? Everything filters. And I think if we start fresh type of thing and start creating like a really amazing community of really knowledgeable and educated people that are on similar wavelengths, then it will help dramatically.
I was explaining to someone yesterday, essentially what I'm doing is, imagine building a house with good quality bricks, where you know where that brick's come from, exactly how it's made up. You know, that house is going to stand on the foundation for a long period of time. But then on the other side, you might have some cheaper bricks that some of the information of where that sediment came from that's in the brick is a bit the grey area. Then if you have the house made out of that, the chances of that house lasting are slim. And the same if you mix the bricks, you're only as good as your weakest brick. So if we make sure we get the foundations right, that we know exactly who crew are, where they've been, what experience they have, not what experience they say they have, what experience they actually have, jobs they've actually done, not what they say they have. Then we create a solid foundation. And then, like you say, we educate these people in terms of what's expected. And then we then have the ability, because we are completely transparent as crew, to be able to start to demand better standards for ourselves, because we've created the standards for ourselves within our own industry and said that we are accountable for our certification, our criminal record, everything like that is available to you. You can see that. But now in return for us doing that, we would like better wages. We would like better rotation. We'd like better leave, whatever it is that you decide to go for. And it gives us a better footing. Whereas when we're at Greys, some of you guys aren't fully legit. And it's like, but it's not me. It's like, but I can still get someone who will take less money than you, because maybe they haven't gone as thorough into their education as you. And it's like, wow, okay. So when we create anything that educates crew, it is a bonus. So I love it. That's what we need.
Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate that. And as I said, what you're doing, I think it aligns quite well, really. It's similar wavelengths. And it's really refreshing to actually speak to somebody that, and yourself being a captain, it's really refreshing to have that thing to be able to...
We have a responsibility as an industry to make this industry better, safer, and more accountable across the board. Because we can only raise... If we raise our own standards as crew, Then we can turn round and we can then go, now you lot need to raise yours and match what we've done. And that's how accountability and industry get stronger, because you set the baselines.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon down there in Plymouth, and enjoy the sunshine with the town. Get out there, get some air. We'll catch up again soon, and I look forward to hearing how it's going in a couple of months.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month, with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.